from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yes, Josh Allen throws some ugly picks, but over the 4 years that he's won the division, he's the most productive player in the history of the sport. And some knucklehead is saying, you know, that guy's overrated. I'd argue he's underrated. Part of Josh Allen's issue, Andy Reid and Mahomes may go down as the greatest quarterback-coach combo in league history. Brady, Belichick were, and it kept Peyton Manning out of a lot of Super Bowls. That was not a knock on Peyton Manning. It was a reality on Brady and Belichick.
That's Colin Cowherd. All right, I could listen to pretty much everything he just said, right? I would even listen to, I don't know if I'd give them this yet, but are they on their way to being the greatest quarterback coach duo of all time, Reed and Mahomes? Okay. Sure. He's going to get the Manning comparison a lot throughout his career, isn't he? Until after he beats them. I have to assume that will eventually happen, by the way. They will eventually beat them in the playoffs. Because Manning eventually did. Like, you get enough kicks at the can, you're going to do it. I discovered the other day that John Madden was 1-6 in AFC Championship games in his career. Like, you get enough tries at it, you can't lose them all, right? You can't lose them all. The Bills have been close. That's the other thing about these Chiefs games. Other than the first one, the AFC Championship game, these playoff games they've played against Kansas City, I mean, they're like a play or two from winning a couple of them.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets stuck. Like, I tried to say this yesterday in the Extra Point Show. You and I have talked about this before, which is, For some reason, players and teams get more criticized for losing later in playoffs than they do earlier.
It's the LeBron fallacy.
Yes, LeBron.
LeBron
right.
Gets criticized for his record in the finals, and my frustration with that always is, okay, so you're telling me he would be better in your eyes had he lost three of those finals in the conference finals instead, which is
right.
Just so
be
bad.
Not even getting there.
Right.
Right, not even getting there. So Josh Allen, the Bills, Sean McDermott, the team, ultimately losing to Kansas City, the best team of this generation now, outside of when New England's run ended.
Yeah.
Losing them. It's tough. It sucks. I get it. But, like, they're the second best team. And, like, what are they, if they don't get there and they lose another way, I don't know. It just, if they don't run into them. It's just a weird thing. Only one team can win. They haven't beaten Kansas City. They're not as good as Kansas City. We all want it. They deserve criticism for you know, how they've lost some of these games. There's no doubt. I'm not protecting that.
Yep.
I just think that it's a weird kind of thing to talk about when other teams in the conference don't even get as much criticism for not getting there.
Right. And this is Allen specific. I don't know that Allen deserves criticism. What?
At all.
When has Allen lost them a playoff game? Is Cincinnati qualify? I mean, I would. The whole team didn't show up that day, right? So it's
no,
there's not a play.
He didn't
there.
Lose them. The only one you could point to maybe was Houston when he like
yes.
But what?
He
could you even point to that? Like,
but it's so
I mean,
early. It's
he
so
didn't
early.
Lose it by himself anyway. He didn't do that. That's right. I'm saying because he was crazy. That was first year playoff Josh Allen, right? The first time he goes to the playoffs and it was craziness in the game. So I'm not even going to put that in there. But he was obviously like, oh my God. A lot of things happened in that game, and he made some weird decisions, and that was like, wow, we are in for the Josh Allen experience. But you're right. If you go back and look at the playoff losses they've had to Kansas City, to anyone, to Cincinnati, whatever, not one of them would you point to and say Josh Allen was the cause of that loss.
Right. Whereas Peyton Manning, like, he had some mistakes. He had a pick six in the Super Bowl, right, against the Saints. I'm sure there were plays in the New England games that I'm forgetting about where Belichick had him in a box. But, right, Allen hasn't done it since. The Houston game is the one, but that's pre, almost feels like it doesn't count because it's like pre-Allen arriving. You know, like, he's here. I know, he's the quarterback. They're a playoff team that year, but he's not elite Josh Allen yet. He's more. I remember arguing with people that summer after that playoff game, with the playoff game was standing, that he was more game manager Josh Allen. Like, he was not turning the ball over as much as he thought he would, but there wasn't these big, giant games. There were these good games. He took care of the offense. He ran the ball. And then he exploded. So, yeah, since he exploded, there isn't a game I'd point to and say, oh, yeah, he lost in that playoff game. So, by the way, the whole reason Coward got into that is, as he pointed out, a knucklehead, which is in this Jeremy Fowler piece from a couple days ago, that called Allen one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the league, or one of the most overrated players in the league. It's a Jet guy, isn't it? It's got to be a Jet guy. The Jets have actually been the defense that have had the most success against him. And they're in the division, so they might be bitter that they drafted Darnold and the other guy. I don't know. I might if I had to bet, I had to take a wild guess on who that a veteran executive works for. I might just predict the Jets, but there's no way of knowing. Anyways, 803-0550 is the phone number if you want to get in. Okay, so did you have something before I get rolling?
I just want to bring up this. Actually, reminded me of. I think I brought this up with you at one point. I'm sure. I know I talked about it on the radio, but. The day of the Steelers playoff game, I was on the radio with Myron Metcalf of ESPN.
Okay.
And it was him and I can't remember exactly who was there with him. It was him and someone else, someone who used to play in the league. And we, like, it was a very uncomfortable conversation. Like, at the end of it, like, we were, like, kind of fighting on the radio. And I'm on ESPN. And the reason was, he had this, like, he started talking about how, what are Bills fans going to do if Josh Allen costs them another playoff game? Like, what are you talking about? And he's had the most interceptions in the league since he came in. I'm like, dude, do you know what he's done in this league? And he kept saying, all you're focused on is the positive. I'm like, what? It was wild. And I kept, like, kind of defending, like, you guys need to go back and look at what he's done in the playoffs. I'm like, sure, the Bills haven't gotten there. That is not. And he was talking about legacy and not winning, and he could be regarded as one of these quarterbacks that never won because of, and they were pointing it to the interceptions. And it was just the strangest thing. And it got me mad. And literally, like, toward at the end of the conversation, kind of regret it. Like, I will tell you, like, he's like, what happened was he asked me when I could come on the air, and I said, hey, I got something going on. I'll come on at, like, whatever it was, 6:05 that day, 3:05, whatever it was. And he's like, at the end of the conversation, he says, I'll always remember you as the 05 guy, because that's kind of a weird time. And I said, I'll always remember you as the guy who won't give Josh Allen any credit. And we hung up.
Wow.
That was on ESPN radio.
Wow. But I mean, I might have done the same thing, because it was just
weird.
It's not even like an opinion thing. It's just look it up, man. Just look up the game logs.
Right.
Just look up the don't even have the game logs. Look at the stats. Turnovers in the playoffs. He has 4 interceptions in 10 playoff games to go with his, what, 30 touchdowns? He's 21 through the air. I'm sure he has some rushing, too. I don't have that in front of me. He's lost 2 fumbles in those 10 games. Like, he is not... Okay, does he have the turnovers in the regular season? Yes. A lot of those, by the way, are in his first 2 seasons. The fumbles in his first 2 seasons were nuts. There were a lot of them. And they haven't gone away completely, but they have gone down. Interceptions went down. Last year was up, but for the large part of the last 4 years, you know, he's not Jameis Winston. He's not throwing 30 interceptions out there. And in the playoffs, he's not even what he is in the regular season. 4 picks to 21 touchdowns. That ratio, I looked up, is only in the last 5 years. The only quarterbacks that are better at it are Mahomes, who's just barely above it for touchdown-interception ratio. And Goff is better, but Goff's played fewer games, and it's 6 touchdowns to 0 picks. Allen's 21-4. It's not true.
Okay, and here's another one. I'm going to send you this. I actually just found the tweet. I did the research, and I tweeted at Myron Metcalf after this a couple weeks later.
Yeah.
I think this is up to date. Has Josh played 10 playoff games? Right?
He has. Exactly 10.
Okay, so this is exactly up to date. That's fine. And I had a tweet a couple weeks later, and I sent it to him. I'm going to send it to you on DM so you have it. You can look at it.
Okay.
Joe, there have been 46 quarterbacks. This is amazing to me. There have been 46 quarterbacks in the history of the NFL since the merger who played at least 10 playoff games, okay? 46 who played at least 10 playoff games and had at least 1 touchdown pass. So 10 playoff games, 1 touchdown pass, 46 quarterbacks. Josh Allen, of the 46, has the lowest interception rate in history. 1.1%.
Yeah.
The next are Mahomes, Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Phil Simms.
Mm-hmm. The lowest of any
interception rate
10.
Of any quarterback in the history of this game who has at least 10 playoff games and at least 1 touchdown pass.
I mean, it's just, it does feel like, I guess, from your interaction you're discussing here, and then like what we heard from Fowler in this, well, it's not even really Fowler, right? It's what he's hearing from executives, scouts in the league, and it's a very, I'm sure, minority opinion, but it's out there, even in a minority opinion, that he's losing them seasons by turning the ball over. Like that, if that sentiment is out there, at every turn, it should be nipped in the bud because it's simply not the case. They have, even that Houston game that we just, you know, that's, again, we don't even know if we want to count it because it's pre-Allen becoming like this elite quarterback in the league. In that game, he did some crazy stuff. He was a crazy person in that game. Lateraling it to Dawson Knox, jump balls to Pat DeMarco, the running around in the backfield and taking a sack for like 40 yards before his defense got him the ball back at the end of that game.
He caught a touchdown.
He did also in the Brighton. He caught a touchdown in that game. He didn't throw an interception in that game. That's not one of his 4. He didn't throw a pick in that game.
I just tagged you. I know you want to get to this first draft thing, this first pick, this first snap thing, but
we should table it anyway because we have time to do it anyway, and we only have like 8 minutes.
Okay, yeah. I just tagged you in it. You can take a look. It's crazy, and like I'm like, wow. Like, did the history, because that made me mad. Like, he's saying this, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But go find it. I just tagged Joe in the tweet. 46 quarterbacks, and I don't remember this. Now, some of this isn't up to date. There were a few more playoff games, but Josh hasn't played another playoff game.
His completion
percentage is close to 65, right? I mean, 21 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. In the playoffs, he's been amazing.
He's been incredible. And that is where, you know, that's where Bills fans get frustrated sometimes with the coach. And that's maybe one game specific. And I guess, should they be more with the organization too? I mean, I don't necessarily feel that way. But if you do just kind of look at it simplified of, I've got a quarterback that becomes one of, not even becomes, because, you know, he already is in the regular season, but even better. He's already one of the best in the league in the regular season. He gets even better in the playoffs. And you don't have the hardware. I mean, that's where the crazy frustration of a Bills fan comes in right now, is your quarterback is not the reason why you're not winning these Super Bowls.
If you want a little bit more, like you want to go down a little bit more of the rabbit hole here, check out the discussion on the heels of that tweet I had with Myron Metcalf after going on ESPN with him. Like, I tagged him and we went back and forth a little bit. And you'll see exactly. It's frustrating, dude. It's just, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Yeah. This will be, man, the year coming up. So we don't have, we have time anyway in before the season and before training camp for this exercise, because I do want to do it. But without doing the whole draft, because, you know, we only have like 7 minutes here to do it. How they're going to line up a lot this year. Like, do you feel like Matt Parrino last hour mentioned when kind of talking about the way the offense will look, like, I think they're going to run more 12 personnel this year. Like, they started doing it at the beginning of last year. Knox got hurt. Remember, Knox got hurt, and that's a big factor here. Knox got hurt, and then their percentage did dip back down. They still did go up. They went up from the previous year by a good, healthy margin. But Matt's like, I think they're going to go up even more this year, assuming those two tight ends stay healthy. Is that how you feel? Do you feel like they're different coordinator from last year to this year, that Joe Brady is going to walk in and they're going to play, they're going to be near the top of the league in 12 personnel?
They will be, I think they're going to go back to kind of trying to, they wanted to do this last year, it kind of didn't work. I don't know what the issue was. Then Dawson got hurt a little bit. It just never fit how they wanted to do it. Yes, I think they want to be a 12 personnel team. But maybe even so much, it's like, yes, 12 personnel, they want to do that. I don't even know if I want to go as far as we're going to be like, looking at a team that is always having two tight ends on the field. I think they want to use both tight ends a lot, though, if that makes sense, right? It doesn't have to be, and I'm not saying Dalton Kincaid's coming off the field a lot, but I think you could use James Cook in the slot. They could use Curtis Samuel in the backfield. This is an offense, Joe, where I think you're just going to see a lot of guys lining up in different places. And if that translates more to the actual, you know, operation of 12 personnel, yes, of course, because I think they want to just use different guys in different spots. I do think it'll be less of a wide receiver heavy offense. I think that's the best way I'd like to say it.
Yeah. And that would point to a lot of the things we thought about them going into last year, which is they would become a better running team, not even a more high volume running team, because when you have two tight ends out there, if Knox were to have the same responsibilities he's used to as a blocker on those plays, but now I've got Dalton Kincaid in there instead of a Cole Beasley type. Well, when Dalton Kincaid, I retweeted some clips of him last season on Twitter of him getting to the second level as a blocker, and he is not George Kittle, I know, but I also don't think he's Jimmy Graham. He's not a tight end that you just can't ask to block at all. I feel like he's a good tight end all around. Blocking wise, his grading was good too. Watch some of these clips where he gets to the second level. Where he gets in the Denver game, James Cook, this is the play. Remember where James Cook fumbles the ball and it bounces right back up to him and he goes for like 40 yards? On that play, watch Kincaid. He gets to the safety and puts this dude through the ground with ease. Like almost, it's like a wrestling move. Like picks him up and throws him on the ground. That block. You know, it says to me, okay, this is what you want, where that guy blocking smaller people than you would have had available to you on these plays years ago is how you become a better running team. I don't necessarily want them to run the ball all the time, but that's what they tried, I think, to accomplish last year, and they did in spots. So do they want to return to that? I mean, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't. Knox is still here and getting paid. I can't think he's going to be irrelevant in the offense. They drafted Kincaid. I think he's going to lead the team in catches. So I don't really know how they don't come near the top of the league in 12 personnel. I think they have too much invested in the position and too many questions at receiver.
Well, you don't want that to dictate it, right? But it's a reality. You don't want it to dictate like what the term is on contracts, how much they're paying guys, and they have to be on the field. But that's the reality of it sometimes. Hey, like we have... You paid him for this reason, to be on the field, to be productive. So, you're probably right, Joe. Like, at the end of the day, if you're looking at the numbers, 12 personnel will probably be, you know, one of the more 12 personnel teams in the league. What I'm saying is, though, I just think that you could see a lot of different kind of looks from this team without just saying, you know, it's wide receiver heavy. They're going to target the wide receivers. I think tight ends and running backs will be very much in the mix of the top, you know, 5-6 guys of who's getting targets here.
Yeah. They, and by the way, like, a lot of 12 personnel, like, top of the league, I mean, nobody does it, like, 80% of the time. Last year, if you look at, this is actually at Sumer Sports, we're going to have a guest on from there coming up next, more about the kickoffs, though. If you look at personnel tendency on their site, and you look at 12 personnel, the leader in the league was Atlanta at 41%. And then you had a bunch of, you had two teams in the 30s, and everybody else, including the Bills, were below 30%. So even if you're a team that you would quote unquote say does it a lot by league standard, that's still less than half the time. And that goes to what you're saying, though, like different looks, different personnel packages, you know, being more versatile in that way. Because if you look at some of these teams at the bottom of the league, this is, used to be the Bills. 4%, 8%, 7%, 12 personnel. Like Miami. Miami's a team at the bottom of the league last year where did they want to do it? They might have wanted to and just felt like they couldn't because they didn't have the personnel to do it. And they were constantly searching for a counterpunch when the league figured out, kind of the Bills figured out, and then the rest of the league figured out midway through the year how to keep them in check. And McDaniel had a tough time, I think, finding a counterpunch. I mean, they didn't have that available to them because they don't have tight ends. Durham Smythe was like their only guy, and who's that? So I think the Bills are going to be near the top of the league, and I bet you it still is going to be like a third. Third of the time, and you'll still have two-thirds of the time left for the three receiver sets, four receiver sets, if you want to do that as well. I think you're going to see all of it. And again, the whole point here is, I think when they were having their best seasons with Diggs and with Beasley and Brown, you never saw 12 personnel. Almost, right. There were games they didn't even dress a second tight end. It was just Knox. Time out here. When we come back, the kickoffs. Okay, so we're very interested in what that's going to look like. Maybe a little bit of a peek into what we could see. Sean Syed from Sumer Sports dove into all the XFL kickoffs and his takeaways from that. We'll get to that with Sean when we come back here from Sumer Sports. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio, this is WGR.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
going to be short. Fielded at the 4 by Hines. Coming straight up the middle to the 20. Cuts it back at the 25. He's got an alley down the right sideline to the 40. 50. Down to the 40. 35. 30. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Naheem Hines. 96 yards. Run, run as fast as you can. You're not catching Hines. He's your end zone man. Buffalo on the board with the first play from scrimmage.
Chris Brown on the call there. One of the famous plays the last couple seasons. Naheem Hines. Immediately after DeMar Hamlin went down in Cincinnati, which was a special moment in the stadium. Holy cow. Tears everywhere after that. Chris, by the way, announced officially yesterday, if you missed it, is the official voice of the Buffalo Bills going forward. So congratulations to Chris. Kickoffs. All right, we're ready. We are fired up about kickoffs and what we're going to see. Preseason will be our first taste in the NFL of that, but we have seen it in the XFL. Sean Syed from Sumer Sports, now on the Western Hotline, Director of Communications for Sumer Sports. Hey, Sean, thanks for getting up with us this morning.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. You know, special teams, something maybe a lot of us just kind of go to the bathroom for a little break during the game, but it's going to be fun this year. There's going to be a lot to track.
That, no, it's not, definitely not, true.
Not, wait, let me tell you, say, Sean, you're talking to a fan base here that is every year pounding the table to get Steve Tasker into the Hall of Fame. So we do not treat it like that here in Buffalo.
Yes.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Yes. So, you're right. It's kind of become that play, though, the kickoff specifically, where, get up, go to the bathroom, take a two-minute break, five-minute break, really, if you need it, and probably not going to have that anymore. So we are going to see what we get. And Sean did a deep dive into what we saw in the XFL in the last couple of seasons with their kickoff, which I guess I didn't. I mean, there's a lot to know here, right? There's a lot to remember off the top of your head, Sean. But until I read your piece, I didn't even, or I at least forgotten that there's subtle differences between the XFL kickoff rules and the NFL kickoff rules.
Yeah, exactly. There are subtle differences, but I actually think that they're so important that they're going to form how kickers, how they really treat the entire play. So in the XFL, there was only one returner back. In the NFL, you'll have the option to have two returners back. And there's something that they're going to call it the landing zone. Basically, it's the goal line to the 20-yard line on the receiving team side where the ball has to land in that area to kind of start the play. And in the XFL, if the ball bounced in there, you had to wait at least 3 seconds for the kickoff team to go chase the ball. But in the NFL, you're going to be allowed to run after it the second it hits the ground. So to me, you know, if I'm Tyler Bass, I'm practicing all sorts of knuckleball kicks. I want to get that wind in Orchard Park to be able to take advantage of it, get that ball rolling, and really be able to take advantage from the kickoff side.
The issue will be, though, and you're right, like you want to try and strategize here, Sean, but if you knuckleball it and it lands before the landing zone, the other team is going to get it at the 40-yard line. That's a bit of a risk to take if someone touches it or if it bounces before that.
Yeah, I would agree that it is a real risk. And actually, in the XFL, instead of just the 40-yard line, it would go to the other team, like your own 45-yard line. So it's like a 15-yard difference in terms of the penalty. But, I mean, I've seen a video of a kicker practicing it, and I really, really believe in NFL kickers. I think that they – as much as you want to complain about field goal kickers in general, I think they're going to be able to control this, and we can see a difference in maybe the ones that are really, really good at it. And sure, certainly there's going to be some, I think, power kickers that they just want to boom the ball out of the back of the end zone. But if you're talking about the difference between 10 yards to start a drive, the chance that you score on that drive is drastically changed. So I think it's important enough that, you know, if it lands at the 15 instead of the 20, so certainly that's fine, and there is a risk to it, but there's a lot to be gained as well, especially if we think about a muffed return or a fumble or really even pinning someone back at the 10 to start a drive.
So Sean Syed on the Western Hotline, Sumer Sports. You can actually find his in-depth piece on the kickoffs at sumersports.com. We could never get into everything you had in a 10-minute conversation, which we wouldn't want to anyway. There was so much data in it, too. So how many kickoffs did you watch for this again from the XFL?
It was over 400. Last time I looked, I believe it's 407. Enough to make my eyes a little strained and make me glad that the preseason doesn't start for a few weeks.
Yeah. So in kind of open-ended here to start, like, what was there something that you learned from watching those 407 kickoffs that surprised you more than anything, whether it was the blocking or, again, like maybe what the kicker was doing on some of these plays? Was there anything that kind of surprised you before, after going through this exercise or going through this film analysis?
Yeah, so the way I cut it up was basically I wanted to look at where the kicker was kicking the ball to on the field. So from the kick and view, kind of like outside the numbers, between the numbers and the hashes, or in between the hashes itself. And after watching all of those from the XFL data, there wasn't really a meaningful difference between where it was kicked from a horizontal level. So I thought going in, I was like, you know, if I was a kicker, I'd probably try and kick it right into the corner. It's maybe a little bit easier to kind of have that become a play that's positive for the kickoff team. But because it kind of didn't matter where you kicked it from, to me then now you can kick it to specific areas to highlight specific players. And of all the players that ended up having the most tackles, it was actually an inside player. And a lot of the times if a returner just like paused or danced around, or maybe they caught the ball on the right and tried to reverse field to the left, the play was happening way too fast. And those inside guys, especially in the NFL, where they're going to be more athletic than a lot of those guys in the XFL, they're going to be able to make a big play.
Right. Good point about the athleticism. Go ahead, Sal.
Yeah, there's two parts of the kickoffs, right, this year, which are A, the operation of the kickoff itself, and B, Sean, roster construction, right? We're all kind of wondering how teams are going to do this. Did you find anything by kind of looking at how rosters were constructed? Who's on the actual kickoff team or return team by looking at all these kickoffs?
Yeah, so some kickoff units, they tried to have like bigger body kind of offensive linemen on the block. And that, to me, it looked like it just really didn't work because, you know, players were just too fast. And in the NFL, when we see holding calls, a lot of the times it's, you know, the left tackle is holding the guy just a little bit, the ball bounces outside, and then you grab cloth and get flagged. So to me, those the biggest bodies may not be able to have the most success just because of the speed of it. And I think if I was going to choose just like one position type to play every single spot, it'd probably be a running back, just because the blockers, it kind of feels like a running back kind of preparing for a linebacker blitz to happen. And then on the other side, you know, I think that players, you know, like safeties, because you have to have some sort of hybrid. You've got to be really, really strong. You've got to be crazy, crazy fast. And it'll be interesting to see what teams kind of manipulate it, whether they put their best guy on a side or if they're kind of stacking their better players inside.
Yeah. So in the first couple minutes we've been talking to you here, does it sound like athleticism? Not that that wasn't important before, but being like having the size and speed combo is going to be very important. Maybe it will be more important just because of, Sean, where the NFL has gone with kickoffs, where it just was so rare that you even saw returns. And was it pretty much true in the XFL that almost everything was returned?
Yeah, I think the percentage of returns, it was definitely above 75%. Like, there are going to be a lot of returns this year, and part of that is because you literally cannot fair catch a ball that falls in the landing zone, which do I love mandating to the best athletes in the world, like what they have to do, maybe not, but it's certainly going to lead to a lot more of them, and whether that's positive or negative, you know, that's certainly to be seen. And I absolutely agree with you that, of course, athleticism is always, always, always going to be so harped on in the NFL because it's so important. But I think that there's going to be, like, it makes sense to kind of take a flyer just on a freak athlete where maybe they're not the most fine-tuned in their specific position, but the kickoff and the starting field position is going to be important multiple times a game. Obviously, hopefully for the Bills, scoring so many points every game. So that's going to be something where you have players that are able to now, you know, fit a roster and get an extra NFL game check just because of how good they are at this specific thing.
So in years past, you know, we've seen kickoff specialists, like you said, be guys who could boot it out of the end zone. You know, you can still do that now. You might see ones now that are actually more adept at these kinds of things we're talking about, kind of the trajectory and the knuckleball, which would be interesting for that. But also, I think, Sean, what we're going to see here is preseason's going to be wild. Like, teams aren't just going to boot it out of the end zone in preseason, even if they want to do that in the regular season. This is about roster evaluation. This is about trying things. We may see all – this could be the funnest, most fun preseason just because of this change in the NFL we've seen in a long time.
Look, I certainly hope so, because I watched a lot of kickoffs, and it would be real, real boring if nothing happened. But if I'm a coach in the preseason, I agree with you. It's so new. Of course, you know, we got to see it in the XFL, but you make a great point. You have to be able to evaluate what your players can do. Yep. And to me, you know, the players that can execute the specific techniques that are asked. Like, it's a weird kind of block. Like, you're backing up a little bit in a basketball shuffle, and you're kind of catching a guy running full speed at you. So you want to be able to see players do that. So for me, if I'm evaluating a roster, I'm kicking it into the landing zone. I don't have to get too crazy with my knuckleballs yet. I don't want to see people just kicking out of the back of the end zone, because then we're not going to get as much. But there should be a little bit of, hey, we're going to hide maybe a specific kind of blocking technique or a specific kind of blocking scheme, where in the XFL, it feels like a run play in a lot of ways. So you get some of the blocking of that we're used to seeing in a run play. So, I mean, I'm excited. The first time we're going to see it is at the start of August. So it should be good, even if it looks a lot more exciting in September.
How creative in the XFL did coaches get with kickoffs? Like, how many things did you see get tried? I guess mainly on the return side of things, right? Because I would imagine that's where, you know, you know you're going to get the ball. Did the kickoff team... Well, actually, I don't know. You tell me, because kickoff team, this is what's so fascinating about it, is you could have a plan for, like, how to block a play on a kick return, but if the kicker boots it to the opposite side, like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, that's another really good point. When I was looking at the blocking side, there was, like, almost like a dozen different kind of, like, when I charted them pretty much as a type of run play, whether it's, like, a puller or a player kind of going from the outside to the inside to make a block. So a lot of the creativity happened there. And there was a reverse. There was a throwback where a guy throws the ball across the field. So I think we'll see that in the NFL. Now, I'm not sure how much success those reverses are going to have, but one of the things about the XFL rule is on the return side, all 10 players had to be on the same line on the receiving side. But in the NFL, two players outside the hashes are going to be able to be off the line within a 5-yard zone. So that actually gives them a little bit more flexibility, because sometimes when the return team was trying to set it up in the XFL, they were just too slow because they were on the line. They had to run 15 yards back. The other guy had a head start. But in the NFL, you know, there's going to be even more flexibility. And, you know, I would love to see kind of someone get, like, involved in a rugby pitch, or now we're running around throwing the ball around. Obviously, it's going to be very risky for a team, but it would be fun at least.
So, like, it almost kind of seem like they were treating it like a run play on offense too, like with some of the blocking schemes?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, okay. I wanted to use run game terminology because it looked like that, and they were certainly treating it like that. Whether it's, hey, we're going to have two people kind of block down with leverage and have someone pull around them, or we're going to leave a specific person kind of unblocked and trust that our returner is able to make that person miss. And I think it's the right way to look at it on both sides, where the kickoff unit, you kind of have to be able to create levels, because if everyone is on a horizontal line and there's one seam and it gets broken, now it's a race to the end zone. So you're kind of creating that effect on both sides.
All right, Sal, you got anything else?
No, I'm fascinated by it.
I know, I'm just
it.
Like...
I spoke at length, Sean, with Matthew Smiley, Bill's special teams coordinator, Matthew Smiley, and assistant Cody Harkey, and we talked a lot about this, and I learned so much about how, you know, they're trying to attack it. And one thing that stood out, too, is he said, you know, Sal, he said, when you go to a lot of these conferences and offseason, a lot of times you'll get the O-line coaches together and they'll share schemes. Well, the O-line can do that because they're not going against each other. He said special teams coaches aren't going to do that as much because you don't want to share your trade secrets with something like this, which everybody's kind of going to be a little bit on their own in their own island here, which is interesting.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be so fun to see, because in the XFL, teams kind of, you know, you create your own personality almost based on how you approach it. So what comes from teams, and I think there's going to be a differentiation maybe this year in terms of, well, this special teams coordinator is really good. And this team is maybe treating it differently.
So last thing for me, Sean. Again, Sean Syed on the Wester Hotline, the article he put out, way more context information than even what we're doing here. And it's, you got the video, you've got the graphics, the data. It's all put together really well. So last thing for me, do you, after looking at what the NFL rules are set up as and watching the way it went in the XFL, is it right to assume you think this is going to work? Like, that this is here to stay, and maybe they tweak it, but that for the most part, this is what kickoffs are going to look like from here going forward?
I think it depends on what you consider the NFL's goal. So if the NFL's goal is just, we need to see more kickoff returns and have a reduced injury risk, to me, that is achieved through this rule, where the XFL had like a very, very low injury rate on the play, a ton of returns. So that is something we're going to see. To me, I would be surprised if the exact same rule stays the same next year. I believe this rule is currently in effect for 1 year, specifically because I really feel like we're going to see the best kickers knuckleball the ball down. It's going to be able to like kind of cause chaos, and we're going to see teams kind of starting further back. You know, maybe that has a positive effect on some teams where the kickoff unit is able to kind of recover the ball. So, a lot is to be said. The XFL spent a lot of time researching this at like junior colleges kind of across the country. So it's good that we have a lot of XFL data. And I sure hope it's going to be around, because I did a lot of work on that article that I hope everyone reads. But I think that there's going to be maybe one or two little, at least small tweaks that happen after we see a year of this.
All right, good stuff. Sean Syed on the Western Hotline, at Syed Schemes, S-Y-E-D Schemes, if you want to follow him on Twitter, and check out that article at SoomerSports.com. Appreciate you getting up with us, Sean, again, and we're looking forward to it, and hope you are too. So we'll hopefully chat again sometime during the season.
Looking forward to it. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Sean. All right. The kickoff. Let's go. Preseason less than a month away. We'll see what we get. And they'll do, I'm sure, some practicing in training camp. I bet, though, if they're trying creative stuff, especially, you know, the Bills aren't going to want that out there. If they got like certain plays that they're testing out in the preseason. Maybe the rugby guy, Travis Clayton. I don't know how fast he is, though.
There you go.
He's 6'7".
He's an old lineman, but you never know, right?
Yeah. Timeout here, Extendo Sports. We'll wrap things up, get you off to the Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, minute and a half to go here before we get you off to the Extra Point Show.
I see you're drafting in there.
I am. Look at
Josh. Not to be looking over your shoulder.
I am up in the Scott Fishbowl.
Who's
so
on the board?
We had the draft live on Sunday, but only through round 10. So rounds 11 through 22 are all online, like slow draft. You have 8 hours to pick. So this is a super flex league, so multiple quarterbacks. And am I the only one right now? I'm one of the only teams in this league without a third quarterback. Man, some of these guys have four already. And I've got two. I'm sitting on only right now, which is fine. I've got my starters. I'm going to start C.J. Stroud and Matthew Stafford. But I got nothing behind them right now. And left on the board, Bo Nix, Gardner Minshew, Sam Darnold, Aiden O'Connell, Jacoby Brissett, Michael Penix. And then basically we're all at backups. So I've got J.J. McCarthy? No, McCarthy's been picked. What about Bo Nix?
I was about to say, I think that's your best option.
He's going to start, right?
Yeah.
Who's behind him? Zach Wilson? Come on. Come on. Zach Wilson. Oh, they also have Stidham. Jarrett Stidham. Okay, so competition not great against him. Sean Payton, I think, has become a bit of a clown, but he's a good offensive coach, right? So I've got a good offensive coach for the quarterback. Isn't he like the pro-ready guy? I mean, he's, what, 45 years old? How old is Bo Nix? I feel like he was playing college football when I was growing up. Bo Nix is 24, by the way. He played a lot of college football, SEC, then Oregon. Like, I don't know. They're not going to sit him. All right, I think I've convinced myself. I think I'm going to go Bo Nix. Bo Nix. Done. All right, that's my quarterback. Third quarterback. There we go. Made a pick live on the air. Not a very exciting one. Good luck in your fantasy drafts. I am, by the way, always open at Sneaky Joe Sports. If you got fantasy questions, I am totally, totally in on that. And we'll start ramping it up even more as we go forward into the summer. All right, training camp 1 week from today. Stay tuned. Extra Point Show is on the way next. Our thanks to Matt Perino, of course, Sal Capaccio, for being along the whole way. And then Sean Syed from Sumer Sports. Again, if you missed his big breakdown in the kickoffs and what we saw in the XFL, sumersports.com if you want to check that out. Or check out his visit with us last segment on demand audio, WGR550.com. All right, I'll be back tomorrow with Nate. Me and Nate tomorrow, 6 a.m. Talk to you then here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, minute and a half to go here before we get you off to the extra point show.
I see you're drafting in there.
I am. Look at Josh.
Have to be looking over your shoulder.
I am up in the Scott Fishbowl.
Who's so on the board?
We had the draft live on Sunday, but only through round 10. So rounds 11 through 22 are all online, like slow draft. You have 8 hours to pick. So this is a super flex league, so multiple quarterbacks. And am I the only one right now? I'm one of the only teams in this league without a third quarterback. Man, some of these guys have four already. And I've got two. I'm sitting on only right now, which is fine. I've got my starters. I'm going to start CJ Stroud and Matthew Stafford. But I got nothing behind them right now. And left on the board, Bo Nix, Gardner Minshew, Sam Darnold, Aiden O'Connell, Jacoby Brissett, Michael Penix, and then basically we're all at backups. So I've got J.J. McCarthy? No, McCarthy's been picked. What about Bo Nix?
I was about to say, I think that's your best option.
He's going to start, right?
Yeah.
Who's behind him? Zach Wilson? Come on. Zach Wilson. Oh, they also have Stidham. Jarrett Stidham. Okay, so competition not great against him. Sean Payton, I think, has become a bit of a clown, but he's a good offensive coach, right? So I've got a good offensive coach for the quarterback. Isn't he like the pro-ready guy? I mean, he's, what, 45 years old? How old is Bo Nix? I feel like he was playing college football when I was growing up. Bo Nix is 24, by the way. He played a lot of college football, SEC, then Oregon. Like, I don't know. They're not going to sit him. All right, I think I've convinced myself. I think I'm going to go Bo Nix. Bo Nix. Done. All right. That's my quarterback. Third quarterback. There we go. Made a pick live on the air. Not a very exciting one. Good luck in your fantasy drafts. I am, by the way, always open at Sneaky Joe Sports. If you got fantasy questions, I am totally, totally in on that. And we'll start ramping it up even more as we go forward into the summer. All right, training camp 1 week from today. Stay tuned. Extra Point Show is on the way next. Our thanks to Matt Perino, of course, Sal Capaccio, for being along the whole way. And then Sean Syed from Sumer Sports. Again, if you missed his big breakdown in the kickoffs and what we saw in the XFL, sumersports.com if you want to check that out. Or check out his visit with us last segment on demand audio, WGR550.com. All right, I'll be back tomorrow with Nate. Me and Nate tomorrow, 6 a.m. Talk to you then here on WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.